Shalom, and welcome to Tov, the Jewish News Channel. My name is Ruchi Avital, and today we have a very special guest, Rabbi Manus Friedman, a well-known speaker and author, and we will be talking to him a lot about a lot of very important subjects that are on our agenda that are important to us as Jews and as Israelis. But first, we're going to go out for a short message.
גדלתי בישראל בשנות ה-90. תמיד ידעתי שהעמדות שלי, עמדות של ימין, לאומי, דורשות שכנוע, נימוק והוכחה כדי לנהל שיח.
הכרתי והעמקתי בדעות של הצד שמנגד מתוך מתן כבוד. מהר מאוד הבנתי שהאנשים שעמדו בצד שכנגד לא הכירו בלגיטימיות של העמדות שלי. היום, 30 שנה אחרי, בצד השני הדברים לא רק שלא השתנו, הם הפכו גרועים הרבה יותר. הרטוריקה הפטרונית, האדנותית, הפכה למרד אלים, מסוכן, שהוביל אותנו ואפשר את טבח שמחת תורה. אנחנו בערוץ טוב החלטנו להחליף את השיח המכיל והסבלני של הימין בשיח של הובלה והנהגה. רגשי הנחיתות של המחנה הלאומי חייבים להיפסק. במועדון היחידה אנחנו בונים את הקבוצה שתוביל את חילופי האליטות ההכרחית בתקופה הקרובה. אז הצטרפו גם אתם ליחידה ותוכלו גם לתמוך ולחזק את הפעילות של ערוץ טוב וגם לקחת חלק בקבוצה איכותית שתיפגש בקביעות ותבנה שיח חדש בחברה הישראלית ותוביל אותנו לעתיד טוב יותר.
שלום.
שלום, שלום.
So I'd like to introduce Rabbi Manus Friedman, who is a well-known author and podcaster and interviewer. You have your own YouTube channel. It's extremely popular. You have hundreds of thousands of regular listeners. They say you are the most popular Jewish voice on the internet today.
YouTube. And YouTube.
YouTube. Thank you. And I'd like to thank you very much for coming here. I feel very privileged to have this opportunity to talk to you and hear your wisdom.
Let's talk.
Let's talk. So we're in the middle of a war. Yes, It's true. And it's the longest war that Israel has ever fought. We've never been in anything, even the War of Independence wasn't this long. And we don't see the end in sight. I'm going to ask you a question that I didn't prepare to ask, but I want to ask you, what are we doing wrong?
Oh, taking too long.
What are we doing? Why are we doing that?
It's a good question. It's a very painful question, because it shouldn't.
It shouldn't. No. We're stronger than them, right?
You know, it only took 6 days to defeat three armies.
Right.
Why would it take more than 6 days to defeat Hamas?
Almost a year.
Yeah, it's a mystery. In other words, I don't want to know why.
We're doing something wrong, though. That's obvious.
Yes.
What are we doing wrong?
We're not winning the war.
What should we be doing to win the war? I think I can answer that question myself. We need to want to win the war.
Yes. Or we need to follow the instructions of the army, not of the politicians. This is a political war.
But the army, I'm sorry to say, the higher echelons in the army
are
populated with politicians.
Okay, now we got the answer. We came up with it.
Why are they so afraid to win the war?
I have no idea. There must be 10 different reasons and none of them are good.
Okay, let's say you were the chief of staff. What would we be doing differently?
We would have won the war by now.
How?
By destroying Hamas. Really, it's a total mystery why it would take this long.
Why are we
How
tying
long are they in
Rafah? Hands?
Not all of Gaza, just Rafah.
Yeah.
That takes more than a day? Something's not right.
So we're tying our own hands, is what you're saying.
Or there's some reason we don't want to conclude this. And it's not personal. It's not like Netanyahu doesn't want.
No.
There's a lot of influence behind this decision, and it's...
If you were whispering in his ear, you have his ear, what would you tell him?
Don't give in. More than that, I don't know what he could do. I don't envy him.
No, and there's nothing to envy there, absolutely.
Yeah. So the Jewish way to win a war is, number one, as quickly as possible.
Okay.
You don't want children growing up and maturing in a war, because then you lose that whole generation. So to drag out a war for more than a couple of days or weeks, it's not just the tragedy of the war, it's the loss of the next generation. They're displaced, they don't have a normal schedule, all they know is war, all they hear is war. They're not going to be useful citizens when they grow up.
Are you talking about ours or theirs?
Both. I mean, we're a little healthier, but...
Yeah.
So number one, it's got to be quick. And number two, it has to be decisive. If the enemy is not convinced that they lost the war, then we lost the war.
Mm-hmm. How do we convince the enemy they lost the war?
That's a very good question, because dying doesn't seem to be the definition of loss.
I think we know the answer, actually. I think the only way the enemy understands that it's lost the war is when they lose territory.
True.
That's the only thing that really means anything to them. They don't care about the lives. They really don't.
Yeah.
It's worth it to them. I mean, you know, I'm not saying, you know, they don't love their children and whatever, but they have values that are more important than that. And the land is more important to them than that.
So if we want to get deep into it, mm-hmm. these are the followers of Yishmael.
Okay.
Yishmael is not a fighter or a hunter like Esav. He's not going to conquer the land. He knows that. He's not going to conquer the land through force or through armies, because he knows that Eretz Yisrael is an inherited land. It was given to Avraham as a Yerusha. Question is, who inherits Avraham? They, of course, believe that they inherit Avraham, because Shmuel is the older brother.
They haven't read enough of the Bible to know that it's rarely the older brother that actually gets it.
Yeah, Esav made the same mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But Esav thought he could conquer the land because he's a fighter. The Crusades, and Esav realized you cannot own the land, Israel. You can't own it through conquest. Everyone tried, no one succeeded. Not the Romans, not the Greeks, not the Persians, not the Babylonians. They occupied it, but it never became little Babylon.
They even changed the name.
And it didn't work.
And it didn't work.
Right. So they realize you can't. So they basically gave up. But Yishmael says, the only way to own this land is by inheriting? Well, then I inherit. That's what lies behind the entire motivation. It's a matter of kavod.
Oh, kavod.
Not even land.
Kavod, honor, is a very, very, very important value among our cousins, children of Yishmael.
Yeah.
Very, very important value, more than for us.
Because Yishmael was sent away, which is a dishonor, and now you have to regain your honor. So it's not even the land. It's the kavod. Mm-hmm. I'm the older son, I inherit.
Well, we see that theme of honor in Arab culture. It's a very, very dominant theme. More important, I have spoken to various, you know, groups of journalists from all over. And I ask them, if I ask you, or you ask me, what is the most important value in life, you will say human life. And I will say human life. That's the most important value. But if you ask our cousins, the Ishmaelim, the Arabs, what is the most important value, they will say honor. honor is the most important value. So if honor is the most important value, you can kill your mother, your sister, your daughter, because they have besmirched your honor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's clear that honor is more important to them than human life.
Yeah.
So different value system. I think that's really important to point out.
So this explains almost everything. The world knows now that you're not going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. The only way to possess it is to inherit. And the only one who claims an inheritance is Yishmael. This explains why in all 70 years, we've never made any progress in negotiations, deals, offers. Even when they accepted what we offered, the war never stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough. And we, you know, people ask, we offered you 50%. 90%. Why wouldn't you accept it? Well, now we know why. You can't give me my land. 80%, 20%. It's my land. I inherit it. What did you do to inherit it? You don't have to do anything to inherit. Just be born.
First.
Yeah. That's why saying we have a right to defend ourselves, You're not answering the question. They say, what are you doing in my inherited land? And you say, we have a right to defend ourselves. Get your own land and defend yourself. And we say, we're the only democracy in the Middle East. What's the difference? It's not your land. They claim we're not the real Jews. Because if we are, we inherit.
So who are the real Jews?
Lost, gone, whatever.
Mm.
Also, every baby is the enemy. Because every baby inherits. So if there's one Jewish baby in the world, the land could be all his. Explains everything. And what it tells us is, answer the question. If you want to resolve the problem, deal with it. They say they inherit, and we say,
let's share.
We'll give you 2 states. They say, what do you mean 2? You're going to give me half of my country? All right, so what is the answer?
So what is the answer?
The answer is Muslims have a lot to be proud of. Number one, like Avraham, they never got into idolatry. There are no icons, there are no statues, there are no pictures, isn't it? Number two, they're circumcised, like Avraham. On these grounds, they claim to be the inheritors. But they're not biological descendants. They're intermarried. We are the biological descendants.
Is that the only reason?
That's why we inherit. The only way to inherit is to be a biological descendant.
But Yishmael was the son, the eldest son.
Yeah.
But you're saying they're
not.
But
the people today are not biological descendants of Yishmael.
And if they were?
Then we would have to fight.
And we are fighting.
And we are fighting.
So some of them might be.
But the real answer is, the Torah says, Sarah said to Avraham, send away the maid and her son, because he will not inherit with Yitzchak. Avraham was hesitant. He liked Yishmael.
He loved him.
Yeah. And God said to Avraham, listen to your wife, because Yitzchak is your inheritor, your heir. It's as clear as can be. So God says the land is inherited by Yitzchak. If we have confidence, and the Muslims are religious people, if you make them aware of what God said, they will not only stop fighting, they will take down the mosque so that we can build the Beit HaMikdash.
That sounds impossible.
Too good to be true?
Absolutely.
A religious person has to have a religious motivation.
Okay.
We've never given them a religious motivation.
How do we do that?
We're a democracy. We're defending ourselves. We were here first. Answer the question. They say they inherit. Your answer is?
Let's share.
Yeah. Trying to prove that we were there, David HaMelech was there, and Shlomo HaMelech was there. Answer the question.
How do we answer the question?
You get up in the UN and you say, people, have you read the Bible? It says Yitzchak inherits. Say it with confidence, everyone will quit. There was a story when Golda Meir was prime minister. She was coming to the United States for a summit meeting. President Nixon, I think it was. Before she arrived, there was a press conference.
United Nations.
The spokesman for the administration was talking to the press. And he made a comment, I just hope she doesn't come here with a Bible under her arm and say the land is ours because it's in the Bible. And everybody laughed. Good joke. But the editor of the Yiddish paper was there at the press conference. So he said to the spokesman, he said, would it bother you if she came with a Bible under her arm? And he became serious and he said, look, we're not officially a Christian country. But if the Bible says, what can we say? We don't realize how powerful the truth is. You simply state the truth. So I said this to many rabbis, and they said, well, of course, you know, you can convince me, but you say it in the UN, nobody will buy it. What are you saying? That if you tell the truth, it won't work? Well, in that case, keep lying. Then you've given up the ship.
I'd like to thank you very, very much, Rabbi Manus Friedman, for joining us here today for this very, very interesting discussion. I hope we can continue it, perhaps by long distance in the future.
I've done that. It's doable.
And yes. I'd like to thank our listeners and viewers and remind everyone to click on Tov on your YouTube and all the other various channels that are available. Thank you very much and shalom.
גדלתי בישראל בשנות ה-90. תמיד ידעתי שהעמדות שלי, עמדות של ימין, לאומי, דורשות שכנוע, נימוק והוכחה כדי לנהל שיח.
הכרתי והענקתי בדעות של הצד שמנגד מתוך מתן כבוד. מהר מאוד הבנתי שהאנשים שעמדו בצד שכנגד לא הכירו בלגיטימיות של העמדות שלי. היום, 30 שנה אחרי, בצד השני הדברים לא רק שלא השתנו, הם הפכו גרועים הרבה יותר. הרטוריקה הפטרונית, האדנותית, הפכה למרד אלים, מסוכן, שהוביל אותנו ואפשר את טבח שמחת תורה. אנחנו בערוץ טוב החלטנו להחליף את השיח המכיל והסבלני של הימין בשיח של הובלה והנהגה, רגשי הנחיתות של המחנה הלאומי חייבים להיפסק. במועדון היחידה אנחנו בונים את הקבוצה שתוביל את חילופי האליטות ההכרחית בתקופה הקרובה. אז הצטרפו גם אתם ליחידה ותוכלו גם לתמוך ולחזק את הפעילות של ערוץ טוב וגם לקחת חלק בקבוצה איכותית שתיפגש בקביעות ותבנה שיח חדש בחברה הישראלית ותוביל אותנו לעתיד טוב יותר.